another episode of The Wrap. Yeah. And I was just telling Levi before we came on that he was the one that preached us last Sunday. So I told him I would intro this thing, and then I was going to throw it over his way and let him kind of start things off for today. So without further ado. Yeah.
Episode number 28.
Dang, 20.
Yeah, I know. We're
I'm feeling so old.
I know. We're 20.
28 episodes. Old. Young. Yeah. Whatever way you want to look at
yeah.
it. Making progress. So today we're talking.
Today we
ended our disciple series.
Yes. Yeah. That was the cap on the
cap
on the disciple series.
The cherry on the ice cream.
If you want to call it a cherry.
It was good. It was good. And so you were talking about the concept of choices. And so like I said, just kind of take it away a little bit and lead us.
This week we were talking about how, you know, discipleship is a choice that we have to make. And it's a choice we need to make daily, right? Mm. I mean, when we are faced with situations, that choice is there. You know, I likened it back to, you know, in Deuteronomy, where Moses is like, choose you this day, you know, life or death.
Yeah.
And in case you're not, you know, tracking with me here, choose life.
Yeah,
you know,
that's what you know, that's a choice you should make.
I would have loved to have that kind of help on a test in school. Wouldn't it be like true or false? By the way, it's true.
Yeah, it's true. Right. You really want to go with true on
like half thing. Of it pre-filled.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, discipleship is a choice, and it's one that we have to make, like I said, daily. And so what we did was we looked at two different stories. And so the first story is the story of the lady who came and anointed Jesus' head.
Feet. Oh, that's it, yeah.
No, well, this one was the head.
Okay,
the head. Yeah, yeah. So.
Sorry, that was another one.
That is another one. Yeah, he was anointed a couple different times, but this one was just the head.
Got it.
But she brought in this really expensive, it sounds like a really weird substance. It was nard.
Yeah.
Whatever that may be, right?
I've perfume.
never perfume. Smelled nard, but
Coco Chanel.
Coco Chanel.
No, probably not.
But it was super expensive, right?
Yeah, super.
Like, so.
Did you do, by the way, did you in your studying come up with, this just interests me, probably doesn't anybody else, did you come up with like an equivalent of what that would probably cost her to do that?
Oh, gosh. Well, I mean, in the text itself, it was a year's worth of wages then.
Okay.
So. I mean, I'm not sure what a year.
So we're talking. We're talking major costs.
Yeah,
like somebody had worked all year. Like, imagine that you would work all year and whatever you bring in for pay for a year, you took and you just lavished that and spent that on one thing.
And here's the thing that I think is so amazing about her gift to Jesus, and I believe that was a gift of that was an act of worship towards Jesus. She didn't just dribble that stuff on his head.
Yeah, she wasn't like taking a little medicine drop.
Right,
or like
right. And I did do some research on, you know, what kind of bottle that would have been.
Yeah.
And it would have had a very small opening.
Yeah.
So that it would obviously not just rush out of there.
Yeah.
She broke that off. She just smashed it and just, you know.
Dumps it all over the place.
All over Jesus.
Interesting. I like
so
that.
I thought, you know, isn't that how we should be giving our lives to Jesus and
of ourselves.
Of ourselves, right. Not begrudgingly. Not
small drops.
Small drops of
us. Break that sucker off.
Break it open.
Dump it.
Yeah. Just dump it, you know, at the feet of Jesus.
I like that.
You know, I feel like that was her choice to make, and she made that regardless of, I mean, the section we were reading in Mark talk about some of the disciples scolding her. Like, she was... That was not a popular thing to do. Right.
We could have used that money for something else.
Now, other gospel accounts kind of bring in, it was Judas kind of fueling that because he wanted to.
What did he say? Like, we could have taken that money. We could have used it to feed the poor.
Right. He just wanted to
line his pockets, didn't he?
Yeah.
He just wanted to line his pockets because we know that about Judas.
So, and I look at that and I think, how many times do we hold back from following after Christ? You know, either for the express purpose of it's not a popular thing to do, or just simply because, well, we want to kind of retain a little control, right?
That, or it'll cost us too much.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah.
Cost too much time, too many resources.
Effort, resources.
Reputation, Yeah. All those things. Yeah. So we just kind of hold back.
We hold back
bit.
On it, you know.
Yeah, but this lady, Meg,
she takes off, and she just.
I think it's very important, and because you're going to seg here in a minute into another story that has the same kind of idea, but she made a willing, voluntary choice to do this. Nobody forced her. Yeah. Nobody said, you know what, it'd be a really good idea. Like, you'd really get in with good with Jesus if you went. No.
Yeah. And that's not what she was thinking either. You know, she wasn't trying to, you know, I know some people who will do stuff to try to, I don't know, coerce God into doing something for them.
Yeah.
This was a, I'm going to do this for you, Jesus.
Act of worship, out of a heart's devotion, out of a heart that was overflowing in love for Jesus. Right. She gives lavishly, expensively, at great cost to her. Yeah. And it's just so impressive to see that story and to think of that. That was her own voluntary choice to do this.
Yeah.
And like I said, just very, very impressive. And so that's the one story that you talked about.
And then on the other side, because so Mark really kind of bookends this whole crucifixion scene, which, you know, we talked about how the Gospels are centered on this one moment in time. Like, this is the center of the Gospel. This is why Jesus came.
Yeah. You know?
And we,
which, by the way, Mark likes to do that a lot. He likes the bookend sections with similar things. Yeah. So, but yeah.
Which might be why I ended up with like chapters 9 through, 10 through 16.
Yeah.
Because it is a nice
starts
little.
Starts with one thing, ends with the kind of the very similar thing. So yeah, go ahead and tell us about what happened.
So Joseph of Arimathea, I've read that. I grew up in church. I've known about Joseph of Arimathea for.
Yeah, but really on the grand.
As long as I've been
on the
alive,
grand
right?
scheme of things, he's a very.
Right, you don't hear much about him.
Yeah,
except for a few things in the towards the end of the Gospels.
Yeah, plays a very important part in the Gospels.
He
and
does.
Tells us something.
Well, and
very
I didn't
important.
Realize this either. If you look at what he did, you know, we may think of, oh, that was cool of him to do.
Yeah, right. So what did he do specifically?
Offered up his tomb.
Yeah.
That he had for Jesus' burial.
Yeah.
And prepare Jesus' body for burial.
So don't we get the impression that Joseph of Arimathea is probably someone who is well off?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Got some money. All
right. Well, and I believe it's Matthew that actually flat out says he is a wealthy man.
Yeah, there you go.
Right? And so he does this, and so many times I've read that, it really hasn't clicked what he did. Now, just as an aside, I was reading in one of the commentaries I was doing. I can't remember which one it was. But they were talking about how that act of burial of Jesus' body was hugely important to prove that he did in fact die. And so giving that moment in time and knowing where his body was part of the proof of, you know, if you're looking at it apologetically, yes, in fact, he did die. It was verified.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah. And don't miss this. Between the two stories, you've got a lady who is, and we understand as we look into it, is preparing Jesus' body for burial.
Yeah.
This man is
doing much the same.
Fulfilling the act of burial, you know. So, there's some.
And in a hasty way, too, because, I mean, they were trying to get Jesus' body taken care of and off the cross before. I believe Passover.
Yes, before Passover
came. Yeah. So it was the day of preparation, and they needed to get things moving quickly.
Yeah.
So you get this idea. It's very hastily done, but they do. That's why the women went back to finish the job.
Yeah.
Afterwards.
Yeah. Didn't get it all the way done.
But so he does this, and if you don't pay attention, you kind of miss it. But it talks about he took a risk and asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. A risk, you know, and when you search and I talked about last week how, you know, when you're reading the Gospels, make sure you take the time to read all four, because they all give you just a little bit of a different glimpse, a 360 view, if you will,
of like a situation
of
or
the
scenario,
situation,
yeah.
Right? And so we get from that the first thing is he's part of the Sanhedrin, so. That Sanhedrin was the same group that tried Jesus.
Yeah.
Right? And so his reputation was on the line.
Yeah, how's that work out, right?
Yeah.
The same, one of the guys who sits on the council.
Yeah.
who has just arrested and tried and killed Jesus, and one of those guys now is out burying him.
And yeah, I mean,
yeesh.
As far as the Sanhedrin was concerned, I think they would have just let Jesus rot on the cross. Like, there was that much hatred.
There was that much hatred. They would have done
and
that.
And for him to out himself as a follower of Christ in that way was hugely, you know, we don't hear anything else about him. But I can't help but think there weren't some repercussions.
There were some stern conversations going on in that council.
Well, him and, you know, Nicodemus.
Nicodemus, the same way.
Him kind of go off the heels of Joseph, and I think maybe that kind of emboldened him to say, I'm going to jump back.
Yeah, because you remember in John 3, I think, is where we get most of Nicodemus and his story, is it says he comes under the cover of night, kind of in secret. Yeah. Yeah. And by the end of the Gospel of Mark and the end of Jesus' life, Nicodemus has kind of said, I'm not going to be undercover anymore. Yeah. I'm coming public with my faith. Yeah.
And actually helps Joseph prepare Jesus' body.
To prepare and to bury Jesus' body. Yeah.
So Joseph, A, he was wealthy. Yeah. B, he was a well-respected man.
He had a high position.
High position.
In the Jewish society.
Yeah, yeah. He was high in leadership. And he risks that in coming forth and burying Jesus.
Yeah.
You know? And how many times, and this is something, you know, that I've had to question in my own life, is how many times have I been willing to risk my reputation? Or, you know, sometimes I've heard people of, you know, risking their jobs when someone asks them about their faith, you know, and they're not allowed to talk about their faith, right? Or are we willing to risk everything?
Yeah, for sure.
To follow.
I think it's just such an important word to really focus in on. And again, it's choice.
Yeah.
I think sometimes we feel like following Jesus is just automatic. Like we're just going to wake up every day and it's just like, it clicked, you know, like it doesn't.
Yeah.
It doesn't work that way.
Following Jesus
every aspect of following Jesus is a direct choice that we make.
Yeah. And to not choose is to choose not to.
Yeah. I heard this the other day, and it kind of has a bit of a connection to what we're talking about. And the line was something of the nature of, you can't say Lord and know at the same time.
That's good.
Because by choosing one, you're automatically scratching the other one off the list. So if you're saying no to Jesus in something, you're not seeing him as Lord of your life, controller, master, commander of your life. But if you are calling him Lord and you are acting as if he is Lord in your life, you're saying no to everything else.
Yeah.
And so, a choice for one thing is always a choice against something else.
Yeah.
And it is. Every single day, every single thing that we do to follow Christ involves a choice, a willing, voluntary choice to do something in following Christ that automatically excludes other things.
Right.
And what we can't forget in the entire story is really the biggest character star of the show is Jesus himself.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Jesus, and I love this every time I come across it, and it may not say it in the book of Mark, but it does say it in the Gospels. Jesus says, nobody's making me do this.
Yeah.
Nobody's taking my life from me. I am giving it willingly and voluntarily. I am making that choice.
Yeah.
And you said it, you know, when you were preaching on Sunday, and we talked about it a little bit after the fact, is Jesus gave everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gave it all.
He knew what he was risking.
Did. He knew exactly what he was risking, and he went all the way to the end to do it.
Yeah.
Gave up everything for us. And so why in the world would we think that there's anything less than that asked of us?
Yeah.
We have to make some, in
a sense of duty, but in a sense of
devotion
and
worship
and thankfulness.
Yeah, and that's what comes out in these stories of the woman who anoints Jesus and Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea. There is a devotion there, a compulsion, if you will, a conviction to love the man who had loved them so well and had given everything for them.
Yeah.
I think, like I said, it just all revolves around this concept and this idea of a choice. And we have the same thing in our lives.
Yeah.
We have moments where we need to make choice and choices. And like, let's just be honest about it. Like, there are a lot of incredibly difficult decisions that we have to make in life. And they're not easy.
Yeah.
And don't let anybody tell you that they're easy decisions in following Christ, but they're necessary decisions.
Yeah.
And again, there's no like middle of the road on this. You're either gonna make a decision for Christ, or make a decision against Christ.
Yeah, and that's part of what we talked about Sunday is, you know, we don't like committing to one or the other.
Yeah, we don't like hard lines.
We don't like hard lines. We like, well, you know,
I can fudge this a little
I'm
bit.
I'm kind of saved, right?
Yeah.
The line that always gets me of, well, they're a good person.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't think the Bible really calls any of us good.
No, it has a very different story.
It does.
So a choice for Jesus, and even if you think like, well, I'm not choosing against Jesus, well, by not choosing for, and what he's asking you to
you're automatically choosing against.
And to do the opposite.
Yeah.
And so, like I said, it's so incredibly important. And again, that we do that, like you said, and it's a great observation. We don't do that out of duty. Like, oh, it's what I have to do. No, it's what I get to do. This is a joy to do this. And that's really tough to get to that point.
It is.
Insanely tough to get to that point.
Again, we go back to the point of it costs us dearly in most cases, well, in every case, right?
Yeah.
Although someone reminded me afterwards, they came up afterwards, and they're like, you know, it may have been Luke. He's like, you know, to not choose to follow after Jesus, while it may not be a costly decision
right
now,
it seems easy,
it's eventually going to cost you eternally. Yeah.
And immensely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Which I thought was a really good.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. So we can make a choice not to do the things of Jesus and the things of God, and not to follow after Jesus and make those choices. And I mean, gonna be frankly honest, our life would be much easier.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Now. Temporarily. Right. On earth.
Right.
But eternally, we would be in a wreck.
Yeah.
We would be a mess. Any other parting thoughts before we kind of
to make sure that we're making that choice daily. You know, I feel like today's episode has been kind of heavy, right?
Yeah.
But it is. It's a heavy choice. Like it's one that we make daily, and I'm reminded too of. When Jesus talked about the cost of discipleship and what it costs,
he talks about that a lot, doesn't he?
He does. And you know, I love the statement he makes of anyone who puts their hand to the plow and looks back.
Yeah,
is not fit for the kingdom of God.
And I think it's the Gospel of Luke that he talks about that counting the cost. He goes, "What person goes to war and doesn't count the number of troops he has and doesn't look at the troops that are opposing him? What person goes to build a house and doesn't count up the funds that they have to build out, and then gets about halfway through the job and realizes, like, I can't finish this thing because it would be foolish. The same thing applies to our Christian walk. And what we're trying to say is, if we don't count the cost, we don't understand what it truly means to make those choices, and then we say, I'm out. Yeah. It makes us look really foolish, and it makes the faith look really foolish, because they weren't willing to go to the end on that, you know. So you would really have to be super critical about the decisions that we're making. And again, are we making those out of just duty, or are we doing it out of devotion?
Yeah.
Just really some
great. Well, because I do believe that part of counting that cost is looking at what has been given.
Oh, exactly.
Right? Like if you look at a balance sheet, right? Christ has given way more than we could ever possibly give.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, that's where we get that gratitude of, wow, it doesn't matter what I throw at this.
The balance sheet will never balance
out. It will never balance out.
Never balance out before what we've given. And so I think this is a great, great thing to end on with this disciple series. And we said from the very beginning is that we were hoping that those who kind of engaged from week one all the way through week seven, they got to the end of it and they understood what it meant to be a disciple in a better way. They understood that in a better way. And that they took that with some seriousness and started to enact some of those things in their life.
Yeah.
And so we would hope for you as well that are watching that you would do what we kind of talked about today, that you would understand the choices that you are making, and are those choices for or against Christ? And are you doing that because you feel like you have to, or because you are wanting to worship the person who has given it all for all of us?
Yeah.
And so I think when we frame it that way and put it in our minds that way, it makes it like make sense a little better. It's like, he has given everything. Why wouldn't
it's
I want
to? It's not like we're trying to give to this, you know, God that is so aloof that he's never been to earth and been one of us and has experienced what we've experienced. Like, we're doing this for a God that gave his all
that was right here in the middle of all of it.
Yeah.
And we're trying. I say this way because I really don't know if we could ever get to the point where we feel like we've given everything. I don't know. At least I guess I'm saying that for myself. Like, I always feel like there's something that I'm just kind of holding back. Like, but we try to give something for the one who gave everything.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, we strive to give everything is what we do. But just some great stuff to think about.
Yeah.
Like I said, great end to the Disciple series. I really enjoyed this series. Hope you enjoyed it. We hope you continue to enjoy what we try to do here on The Wrap, which is, like I said, just kind of try to put a bow on the sermon for the Sunday and just give you a little bite-sized kind of chunks of things to think about to help you continue to grow in your walk with Christ. And so we thank you again for joining us for another episode, and we will see you next time.
See you guys.